read earlier, as we consider there is much grace to see at the cross and in this account on Good Friday. So I'll read to you Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we were receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray together. Lord, how we ask indeed that you would help us to see the grace, to see grace at the cross, that in our experience of the great wonder of sending Jesus for us, we might apprehend better the goodness of the good news and the great love that you have for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you've ever sold a property, sold a house, you know that the bank will want to see a survey. They will want to see a survey, and they will want to see the survey because the survey delineates, marks out exactly what you are buying or what you are selling. It's there, it's measured out, and you know, sometimes these surveys get a little expensive, so you always try to dig up the one where you bought the property and try to find it and try to use it again. And you know they uncover these important points there on the property, and they mark them, and they measure them, and they survey the property. And tonight, I want to survey the cross. I want to look from three different angles at the cross that we together would understand and see this grace better. And the first place we'll start in verses 39 and 40 is grace when insulted. And you notice something here that Jesus does not respond the way people typically respond to when insulted. I mean, we're living in a tit-for-tat world where if someone cuts you off in traffic, you're taking your life in your hands, right? And that is the kind of reaction that we see in our society, but this is not the Jesus way, is it? It's not the Jesus way, and it's time for Christians to get back to being able to absorb the insulting. Why? Because that is the way of Jesus. That is the way of Jesus. Look here in verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." This criminal had seen the activity around him. What precedes is that the rulers scoffed at him. That's in verse 35. And then the soldiers start mocking Jesus. And of course, we know this is not when the mocking of Jesus and the scoffing began. Back in Luke 22, shortly after he was taken into custody, verse 63, Jesus was mocked. They blindfolded him, verse 64, struck him and kept asking, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" Later, after he appears before Herod, they dress him up in royal apparel. The soldiers do this. Later, we can see even how insulting it might be that Barabbas was released instead of Jesus. And so what we find out, and you know that to be crucified is the worst of punishments, even Jesus being crucified next to these criminals is a kind of insult. And yet Jesus did not respond to the insults. He was not provoked. And in fact, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, we read that this is the fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53, 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, Like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This is how Jesus conducted himself as the perfect Son of God. He was not seeking revenge. And even at the cross is a place of insult for him. In verse 40, back in Luke 23, we see the other criminal takes up for Jesus. Something is happening here. There's a spiritual stirring happening in his heart. The Spirit is at work. The other criminal rebuked the first one. And he says in verse 40, and here's what uncovers the problem. Do you not fear God? This Old Testament concept of the fear of the Lord, which is carried forward in the New, is not being afraid of God, but having reverence and respect for God. It's shorthand for understanding God's place of priority in the life of that someone should have. And clearly, there is not this reverence and respect. And so the one criminal calls out the other one, asking, do you not fear God? We have to remember, death is imminent for all three there at the cross. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Suddenly, that criminal is beginning to develop a conscience. We don't know specifically why he was there, but he begins to understand and comprehend that he is there as part of justice. So we see grace at the cross even when insulted. And where else do we see grace? Well, we see it next, verse 41, grace until the end. Verse 41, the criminal continues. He says, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. That's a profound ethical categorization of the entire situation. The thief is able to now discern the difference between justice and injustice. He is able to discern that he is there justly, and he does something here that no one else does. He recognizes the moral and sinless perfection of the Savior. This man has done nothing wrong. This spiritual stirring continues in his heart to be able to recognize the moral and ethical sinless perfection of the Savior there at the cross. And so you see this one criminal is journeying spiritually. Even as he hangs on the cross, he is going places. He is journeying spiritually, and we see Jesus dying with honor. Dying with honor. Honor as he maintains his sinlessness to the very end. And we must receive the lesson here. Christians who are secure in Christ, there is no other kind. Christians who are secure in Christ, we need to learn to die better. We need to learn to die like the Savior. Well, what do I mean by that? Without fear, showing in our dying the only one worth living for. This is our call. We must die well. The Savior dies preserving his perfect sinless character by not responding to this mocking and the insults. And we too are called to die well. Why do we, who know for certain our eternal destiny, why are we so afraid of death? Why are we so obsessed with retaining and maintaining our health? How did our health become an idol instead of a means we might spend for the very glory of God? Don't miss the lesson here. Jesus dying well, grace until the very end. Let's have done with thinking we're going to live forever. Let's have done with worshiping our health and let's have grace to finish the race well. And so far, what I've shown you grace. We're surveying the cross, taking a good look, measuring where the grace is, and we see grace when insulted, grace until the end, and finally, grace in belief. Look in verse 42. And he said, this one criminal who is journeying spiritually confesses his faith. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, some would say I'm a good Presbyterian. And this wouldn't hold up before an ordination committee. Right? I mean, there's no Trinity in it. That seems like a simplistic statement, doesn't it? It seems like a very basic statement. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Where's the substitutionary atonement in that? Do you follow me? But notice something where he has come from. So consider for a moment what his ethics were like that got him into the situation he's in. He has discerned that he is there justly. He has, by God's grace, recaptured a fear of the Lord there in verse 40. He has discerned by the Spirit's power, verse 41, the very character of the Savior. For he says, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then now he says those words, Jesus. If you look in chapter 23, Luke, the writer of this gospel, uses Jesus in the narrative, but no one else utters those words. They refer to him as the so-called King of the Jews, but no one else uses Jesus' title. But this criminal does. And he uses that title because he now believes. Of course, names are important biblically, and we know that that name, Jesus, means God saves. And so he looks to Jesus to save him, understanding there's nothing he can do hanging on a cross to earn his salvation. He looks to Jesus, and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And this is a confession that he understands something of who is hanging next to him, that he is a king. He is Lord. And he has a future coming kingdom, and he wants to be part of it. And so we see here that what looks simplistic, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, is actually quite profound. It's a substantive confession that he has. And of course, the King of Kings confirms it. Who cares what the Presbyterians think? Verse 43, Jesus puts his stamp of approval on this confession by saying, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus gives this criminal the assurance that he will not miss a moment, but will be with Jesus in paradise. What assurance as he faces death, and death is imminent, but it is not unknown what will happen. Jesus assures him he will be with him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We might look at this account and think, maybe the fact of being crucified softened him up. Maybe this is sort of his crutch. He's about to die, and so clearly those circumstances, the harsh circumstances of being on the cross, softened him up, and this is sort of a bedside confession that way. But remember, he was hanging next to someone who was in the exact same situation, yet mocked Jesus. And so it wasn't the circumstances which softened him up, but the movement of God's Spirit in witnessing the character of the Savior hanging next to him that moved in his heart to confess, and Jesus rewards and affirms his belief in that salvation. And so we see here grace at the cross. Grace in the way Jesus endures the mocking and insults. Grace all the way to the end. Jesus, the preeminent evangelist, even on the cross. And grace in belief. And what a victory that he who came to die for us wins a soul hanging on the cross just before he dies. It's a statement of victory that Jesus indeed rules and reigns in his kingdom is coming. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would give us grace enough to ask for the things that we need. As that criminal asked, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," we pray we would hear your answer in the wonder of that assurance and grace that you give to us. That we together as your people might lament the cost of our sin, which puts you on the cross, and celebrate the wonder and the power of an empty tomb. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.